Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
Good evening and welcome to the final programme in September. Folks, tomorrow is going to be October. It is hard to believe it's the 30th of September and the C word is coming down the track at us very, very quickly. Anyway, it's Monday evening, the Irish programme live on air here on Talk Radio Europe. Nice to have your company today. Do stay with me, please, if you can, until 7 o'clock. There's a lot in the programme this week. For instance, I will be talking to Dermot Hurley. Dermot is the chairman of the Valencia Ireland Cultural Association, and it was set up just over 12 months ago or thereabouts, and it has been doing some great things, so we'll find out about that. Our Spanish-Irish cultural consultant Jose Antonio Sierra will be talking to us about Kate O'Brien, and Kate spent a lot of time in Spain, particularly in Avila, where Jose Antonio comes from. She was born in Limerick back in the late 1890s. And we'll find out about the great writer that was Kate O'Brien and the connections between Avila and St. Teresa and Spain and all that kind of thing. Ben will be joining us to present our comedy spot this week, and I'll let him tell you what's coming up a little later on. I'll be playing the number one song from this date, the 30th of September 1978, very shortly. It's a song that lingered in the charts for a very long time. And of course, we have our famous birthdays, and that is exactly where we're going to start on this Monday evening. By the way, as always, if you would like to get in contact with the program, particularly for birthdays or celebrations, if somebody is celebrating a birthday, I should include them in the famous birthdays. I would indeed. Monday, the 30th of September, today is the birth date of the anniversary of the birth of Cecilia Ahern, the writer from Dublin. She was born on this day in 1981. Charlie McCreevy, former politician, was born on this day in Salons in 1949. Tomorrow is the 1st of October. We've just had a discussion about that. Richard Harris from Limerick was born on that day in 1930. Unfortunately, no longer with us, but a great actor and a very big supporter of the likes of Limerick City and Shannon Airport and Ireland in general. Keith Duffy from Boyzone was born in Dublin on that day in 1974. Ciarán MacMenamin, an actor born in Enniskillen in 1975. And Neil Blaney, former politician, no longer with us, born in Donegal on that day in 1922. On Wednesday, the 2nd of October, one birthday for you, rugby player Gervin Dempsey was born on that day in 1975. Thursday is the 3rd of October, and Danny O'Donoghue, the frontman from The Script, was born in Dublin in 1980. Jim McDade, former politician, born in County Donegal in 1949. And Niall Quinn, footballer, born in 1966. Mary Kennedy from RTE, from the Nationwide programme, as she presents other bits and pieces too. She was born in Dublin in 1956, and on Friday she will be celebrating her birthday, the 4th of October. Saturday is the 5th of October, and Bob Geldof from the Boomtown Rats will be celebrating his birthday. He was born in Dublin on that day in 1954. Kieran Moore, the actor, born in Skibbereen in 1924. The late Frank Patterson was born in Clonmel in County Tipperary, and what a golden voice he had. He was born in 1938 on the 5th of October. And Brian O'Nolan, also known as Flann O'Brien or Miles na Gcapaillín, writer, columnist, novelist, he was born in Strabane in County Tyrone on that day way back when. And finally, Sunday, next Sunday is the 6th of October. Gerry Adams, the former Sinn Féin president, was born in 1948 in Northern Ireland. That's it, a quick look at the birthday file that we have for you this coming week, and there's a lot of musical birthdays in there, but I'm going to go back to one that might surprise you. He was a great actor. He was born on the 1st of October in 1930. His name is Richard Harris, and he did a superb job on this. It's called MacArthur Park.
Spring was never waiting for us, girl. It ran one step ahead as we followed in the dance. Between the parted pages, and we're pressed in love's hot fevered iron, like a striped pair of pants. MacArthur the spark is melting in the dark. All the sweet green icing flowing down. Someone left the cake out in the rain. I don't think that I can take it, 'cause it took so long to bake it, and I'll never have that recipe again. Oh no. I recall the yellow cotton dress foaming like a wave on the ground around your knees. The birds like tender babies in your hands, and the old men playing checkers by the trees. This park is melting in the dark. All the sweet green ice flowing down. Someone left the cake out in the rain. I don't think that I can take it, 'cause it took so long to bake it, and I'll never have the recipe again. bark is melting in the dark. All the sweet green icing flowing down. Someone left the cake out in the rain. I don't think that I can take it, 'cause it took so long to bake it, and I'll never have that recipe again.
Born in Limerick on the 1st of October back in 1930, the late Richard Harris, and that's his version of MacArthur Park. Right, I'm going to take a very quick break right now, come back to me just after that, and I will be talking to Dermot Hurley from the Valencia Irish Cultural Association.
Live on Air, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with emeraldconnection.net.
Welcome back to the programme. Now, I did mention I was going to be talking to Dermot Hurley from the Valencia Irish Cultural Association. That's a non-profit voluntary association that promotes Irish culture in Valencia by organising events that are interesting for Irish people and at the very same time for people who are not Irish, other nationalities. And they can experience and they can learn things about Ireland and Irish culture. Dermot joins me on the phone. Dermot, good evening and thanks very much for talking to me today.
Good evening, Ger. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Firstly, because I'm Irish, as you are, you know we're a nosy lot. And usually the first question that an Irish person will ask when he or she meets another Irish person is, where are you from?
I'm from County Sligo.
Right.
Yes, indeed. A town called Ballymote.
And there's a great connection between County Sligo and Spain because of the Spanish Armada.
That's right, indeed. Captain de Cuellar and the Cuellar Trail. Yeah. We've had many reconstruction and connections between Spain and Sligo over the years. Especially when it comes to music.
And Dermot, tell me, how did you end up in Spain?
I suppose it's a fairly easy story. Many of us didn't have work at home.
Yeah.
And I had some friends who were here in Valencia, and they told me it's a lovely city.
Right.
And I came for 6 months, and that was 6 years ago.
If I had a penny or a euro for every Irish person that said, I came on my holidays and I didn't go back yet, I'd be fairly wealthy today. So you're settled and you're happy in Valencia?
Absolutely, yeah.
Brilliant. And do you mind me asking what you do?
I teach English.
Lovely.
Over here.
Is there a great interest in Irish from people who are trying to learn English?
I find everybody that comes to me has either been to Dublin or the Cliffs of Moher. They're into that.
Right.
And many of them would say, I'd love to see more of the country. And in my own way, small way, I hope I'm bringing a piece of Ireland to them.
Very nice. And that's what brings us on to the Valencia Irish Cultural Association. When was this set up, Dermot?
We had officially set up in the summer of 2018. Now, there was a lot of movement towards that from, I suppose, the beginning of 2017.
Right.
Up towards St. Patrick's Day of 2018, which was an unofficial celebration. And we felt that moving on from that, moving towards making the association official would be the logical next step in order to be able to expand and give a greater platform.
Okay.
For the activities.
And is there a fairly significant Irish population in Valencia?
I think definitely that there is, and it's almost hidden that you wouldn't notice, but because right. the city is quite large, and in the wider Valencian community there are many people. I know, for example, in the south around Alicante and Denia and Torrevieja, there are many people there, but we're based mainly in and around the city.
All right. And in relation to Ireland then, and since you've established, and I did say in the introduction that, you know, you organise events, but you also highlight, you know, things that are culturally Irish to not just the people of Valencia, but to Irish people and other nationalities as well. Mm-hmm. Is there a good interest in things Irish in Valencia?
Absolutely. Now, when I first came here, I'm a traditional musician.
Okay.
I searched for music high and low, and it took me a long time because I didn't have the language. And when I finally discovered it after a month or two, I realized that the Irish music community here is very much established by Spanish musicians, Spanish speakers, whether Valencian or from other parts of the country or indeed the globe. I know there are some South Americans as well who are very interested in Irish music here. Yeah. One of the reasons I decided to set up the association was as a way of bringing these people together, and for other Irish people who were in a similar situation to me, who wanted to experience Irish culture and didn't know how to find it, to set the association as a focal point,
meeting
across community, I suppose intercultural understanding. That's one of our main goals, in order to help Irish people who don't have the language to meet Spanish people, help them. We oft, as obviously there is a large language element to that. Music, dance, we do literature in English, and one of our regular events is a singing circle where we have songs in Spanish, Valencian, English, Irish. It's very multilingual.
Great. And these are the types of things that you organise through the association. And St. Patrick's Day obviously was one that you organised as well. And was that a success?
Mm-hmm. St. Patrick's Day was an absolute success. We had great feedback from everyone that was there. It was a very large number of people this year. The Ayuntamiento of the city helped us a great deal, as did the embassy in Madrid, which really highlighted, I suppose, the association to many people around the country, which again you're helping us with as well, because I suppose our visibility then will help us to create more events like this in the future, which is what we want to continue doing.
Great. Now, I know that your AGM was last week, and at an AGM usually people look back and kind of critique things that may have happened throughout the year and look forward to what might be happening in the next 12 months or thereabouts. So tell us, in looking back, what would you have considered being successful over the last 12 months?
Well, obviously, as I said, the St. Patrick's Day Festival was very successful. We also ran our inaugural Irish dancing workshop weekend, which is something that we would like to build more on, maybe not Irish dancing as such, but the educative element.
Right.
So bringing instructors in various music and dancing. And I guess our strength is that the events that we have held have been well attended and have had very good feedback. One thing, though, is that we are looking to expand our calendar events next year to have one every month at least, in addition to the regular traditional music sessions, which are monthly and weekly.
Great. So all in all, a successful 12 months, and you're looking forward to a fairly successful one in the future.
It certainly looks that way. The AGM was attended by a wide variety of people. Again, as I say, Spanish, Valencian, Latin American, Irish, English, and the officers which were elected are secretary, treasurer, and president, which is myself. These three positions remain unchanged. However, we added a new public relations officer to our committee, as well as dance and music directors who will look to expand the regular educative and performative elements of those different things.
I see that your secretary is Fiona O'Reilly, the treasurer is Edel Byrne, Philip Jones is your public relations officer, and there's different names. Are all these people Irish?
Those four, yes, are.
Right,
yeah, they're,
okay.
We have Dublin, Cork, Monaghan.
Lovely.
And we have members from Meath. Nick, who is our traditional music coordinator, is Londoner. And Cynthia is Spanish-Argentinian, who is our dance coordinator. A very international mix altogether.
In these associations, there are often a lot of people involved, but one or two really hard workers who do all the work. Are you looking for more people to get involved with the association? Would you welcome involvement from other people?
There is always room for more volunteers.
Great.
As I say, our events, for example, especially St. Patrick's Day, involves an incredible amount of hard work from a small number of volunteers. I think we had, I would say, roughly 10 to 12 people who did an incredible amount of work for us.
Fantastic.
For us last year, and then obviously on the day we had a number of more people than that. We're lucky to have strong links with the GA club here in Valencia as well. So they're often happy to jump on board and give us a hand. And again, for other events which we organise throughout the year, we're always open to suggestions. We'll be happy to take those on board and move forward with it. That's what we're hoping for.
All right. Will you give us a contact in case somebody wants to get in touch with you for any reason to maybe help out or ask a question?
Our email address is aciv.vlc@gmail.com. ACIV for Asociación Cultural Irlandesa de Valencia.
Okay, and your website address?
Is valenciairlanda.com.
Well, look, we wish you the very best of luck. You have my contact details. Please make sure and keep me in the loop. You might pass on the information to Philip, or you keep in touch with me. And anything that we can do to help promote what you're doing, we will be more than happy to do so.
Okay, thank you very much for the opportunity, Gerard. It's been nice talking to you.
And likewise, that's Dermot Hurley, who is the chairman of the Valencia Irish Cultural Association. Actually recorded live in Ennis in County Clare a number of years ago. A group of County Clare based musicians calling themselves the Wingers. A lot of them play with a group called Shaskeen these days, but they put together a fabulous session one particular evening. I recorded it and I have no idea what you just heard, but I know it was a group called the Wingers. Right, let's take a quick break, come back to me just after that, and I will be talking to Jose Antonio Sierra about Kate O'Brien, the wonderful Irish writer.
On Era, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
Welcome back to the programme. You will recall a number of weeks ago that Patricia Traynor spoke a little bit about MOLLI, M-O-L-I, the Museum of Literature Ireland. And it opened officially just about 10 days ago, or maybe just under 2 weeks ago. And when Patricia was talking about the exhibition, she mentioned a lot about James Joyce, because obviously a lot of people will be very interested. However, one of the other major exhibitions that's taking place in MOLLI is that of the workings and the writings of the great Kate O'Brien, who is originally from Limerick City and spent a lot of time in Spain. Now, we're not going to have a literary conversation about this, but I thought that we should talk to our Spanish-Irish cultural consultant and correspondent, José Antonio Sierra, who is on the line at the moment. José Antonio, buenas tardes.
Buenas tardes.
Good to talk to you as always. And normally we're sitting side by side in the sunshine in Malaga when we chat. However, today you might be in the sunshine of Malaga, but I'm in Ireland and the sunshine is nowhere to be seen. But it's good to talk to you as always.
Well, it's a pleasure for me to talk also.
Now, you and I are kind of linked with Kate O'Brien because she was born in Limerick City and so was I. And she spent a lot of time in your hometown, in Avila. So there's a nice little connection there, isn't there?
Well, it's a great connection. Well, may I say that I was very, very sorry on the 20th of September when it was opened, the MOLLI Museum of Literature Ireland, not to be in Dublin, especially to attend the exhibition of Kate O'Brien. Santa Teresa, or Saint Teresa of Avila, was declared Doctor of the Church. Kate O'Brien in 1970 wrote a piece, as far as I remember, in the Irish Times, saying how sorry she was unable to be in Avila that particular day.
Right.
And she imagined how will be the Avila town and the cathedral and all the people from Avila on the streets. And she said how sorry she was due to some kind of flu that she has.
Oh, yeah.
Now, when I arrived in Ireland, just to go, in 1968, when I said that I was from Avila, I still remember that some people told me, oh, you should read Kate O'Brien. You should read Kate O'Brien.
Yeah.
So it just happened that Kate O'Brien was writing at that period, I think a far distant column in the Irish Times, writing articles on different kinds. And also on RTE, she spoke on Santa Teresa of Avila. So that developed in me a great interest in Kate O'Brien, and I started reading her novels and about Kate O'Brien.
And what was it about her writings that attracted you so much? Was it because you were familiar with what she was writing about?
Well, I started comparing her biography, and I said why she was all her life, and she admired so much Santa Teresa of Avila, even if I think when you see their childhood and their background,
okay,
coming from a town like Limerick, and a town, we have to put ourselves in that period when they were young. And they were in boarding school, they were from Catholic families, they were from a so-called provincial middle class with certain values, and they have a lot of things in common. So after that, may I say that I think Kate O'Brien became interested in Santa Teresa of Avila, probably because when she started reading about Teresa of Avila, she identified herself. She said, well, I understand this woman, well, who she was a fighter. Because, in fact, Santa Teresa was, in many ways, a feminist, put it in the present context.
Right.
And she was fighting about the rights of women, in many ways, to be equal to men. And I think Kate O'Brien was also, all her life, she had to suffer the censorship like Santa Teresa of Avila.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, until the end, until the moment that she died, she was always fighting.
Did you ever meet her?
No, unfortunately. I telephoned, I remember, to the Irish Times to say that I would love to meet her. And they told me, yes, they promised to me that I will meet her, but I was unable. Because I think one day that she came, but she came for a very short time in Dublin, and I was unable. I really would love to meet her if I had the opportunity to say, look, I am from Avila, I understand you. And I'm sure they would have a very long conversation about that. When I did, is when I came, I say I went to Avila. And of course, in spite of what some people say, that Kate O'Brien, maybe she didn't suffer the censorship of her novels, she suffered the censorship in Ireland, and I think she suffered also in Spain, because when she wrote in favor of the Republic, I know how anybody who dares to write about in favor of the Republic in Spain in Franco period certainly would suffer. If he was a writer, probably his books or her books will be censored. And also, for many years, she didn't come to Spain. So when I did in Avila is to approach in a small village where the people claimed that Santa Teresa was born. It's a village called Gotarrendura, with less than 200 people. Mm-hmm. And I went to see the mayor, and I said, well, look, here you have an Irish writer, Kate O'Brien, who, by the way, in the village, they didn't know, they never heard anything of that. Really? I said to the mayor, well, why don't you dedicate one of the streets to Kate O'Brien? So the mayor, he became very interested, and we organized a very big event, and the Irish ambassador were there the day that was put one of the streets in the village, was put Kate O'Brien. And also there was a very delegation from Limerick of five people who came to that day. It was a fantastic day. And after that, I organized another homage to Kate O'Brien in 2010 in Avila capital. And again, I approached the mayor of Avila to say, look, Kate O'Brien came to Avila quite often, and she stayed in a hotel here. Again, nobody has heard of Kate O'Brien there.
That's right, yeah.
And, but nevertheless, again, it was approved to give the name of one of the streets in Avila to Kate O'Brien's name. And again, the Irish ambassador came there. It was a very big day.
Yeah.
And after that, people in Avila became familiar with the name of Kate O'Brien. And they started reading the books of Kate O'Brien.
And would you consider that she is well known now in Avila, and her works would have been read fairly thoroughly?
Yes, because in some of these reading clubs that exist in some public libraries, they nearly every year they read one of the books of Kate O'Brien. Also, because it has been mentioned on several occasions on the radio in Avila, especially now when the Malaga University, I approached the Malaga University to see if they will consider to give a prize to people who do research about the literary and the subject of women relation between Ireland and Spain. And they are at present, they are at this moment exactly, they are sending the information to all the organizations in Ireland and in Spain. So I think that Spain has a debt with Kate O'Brien, as it had with other Irish people like Pamela O'Malley, who dedicated all her life for the defending the teachers' union and the public schools. And you will have other people who did the same.
Okay.
And then I think the countries should remember them.
You have said to me in the past, Jose Antonio, that every English-speaking person should read Farewell Spain by Kate O'Brien. Why is that?
Well, first of all, in the Farewell Spain, the first subject is dedicated to tourism, and probably some of them will identify with them. Mm-hmm. You see, Kate O'Brien, I always distinguish between a visitor in a country and a tourist. A tourist could be in Benidorm, as he could be in Marbella, he could be in Malaga. Mm-hmm. He comes in the plane, he goes straight to the hotel on the beach, a few drinks maybe sometimes in the evening, and that's it. And during the day, they become and they look at their skin just to see if it has a different color now than when they go back. And after that, they go back, that's it. Now, Kate O'Brien was never a tourist, was a visitor. It's a difference between, like when you visit, you go to a country, it depends how you go. You go as a tourist or you go as a visitor. You go as a visitor, you speak to the people. Kate O'Brien spoke to the people all the time. Kate O'Brien learned the language. That is a difference. That is why she knew so well Spanish people. And when you write Farewell Spain, it's great. And I will advise to any English speaker, please, or tourist or whatever, even if they stay for a week, to read Farewell Spain.
Okay.
And I am sure they will enjoy while they are basking on the beach, just to be reading Farewell Spain. And after 2 weeks, they will go back and they will say how great, it was fantastic holidays.
Now, Kate O'Brien only died back in 1974. So that's not a terribly long time, really, when you consider it. And do you think it's only now that her works are gathering traction and momentum? Is she only becoming well-known and popular and loved now?
I think she was always popular. She was always loved. The only thing is that I think she, as a result of the censorship in both countries, that was long, long time ago. As you can imagine, if in Spain during 20 years, her books were not completely, some people claim that they you could get them, but certainly they didn't facilitate for you to get their the work that she has published.
Okay.
So I think that now when you read I have been reading Farewell Spain for the last month, and I read before that book, I have read that 3 or 4 times, and each time I discovered how, when you read that book, you will think that she is, when what she described is something that is happening today. It's not when she was writing the book in 1937.
Okay. All right. There's obviously a lot to Kate O'Brien, and I know that you and I have discussed this in the past. I think it's something that we're going to have to do a lot more on, and we won't be able to do her justice just on 1 hour or within the hour program. So we will look at ways that we can maybe pay tribute to Kate O'Brien in a greater way in the very near future. How's about that?
Well, you know that I always agree with you.
Really? I must record the next argument we have. And let the people know just how well we get along. All right, Jose Antonio Sierra, I will be back in Spain next week. I look forward to catching up with you, and we'll have a good hour. How's that?
Well, here is very hot today, by the way.
Go on,
stay there, don't
rub
come.
It in, rub it in, why don't you? Thanks very much, Jose Antonio Sierra,
okay.
Our Spanish cultural, Spanish-Irish cultural correspondent.
Well,
and we'll chat to you soon. Okay.
Thank you. Bye. Adios.
Bye. Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney in association with EmeraldConnection.net.
Welcome back to the programme. The final part of the programme. In fact, I did promise I would play the number one song in Ireland on this day back in 1978. If I told you that it spent 90 weeks in the Irish charts, would you have any clue who it might be? As far as I know, it only spent 1 week at number one, and the other remaining 89 weeks, it just danced at various positions in the Irish charts. 1978, I'm talking about Gloria, country Irish singer, and she had a hit with this song, which has been recorded by many people down through the years. It's called One Day at a Time, and as I said, it was at number one on this day, 1978 in Ireland.
I'm only human, I'm just a woman. Help me believe in what I could be and all that I am. Show me the stairway I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time. Sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Remember when you walked among men? Well, Jesus, you know, if you're looking below, it's worse now than then. pushing and shoving and crowding my mind. So for my sake, Lord, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time.
It spent 90 weeks. Yes, you heard me correctly when I said it at the start of the song. 90 weeks at the charts, or in the charts in Ireland. And it was number one on this very day back in 1978. I remember it well. Gloria and One Day at a Time. You know the way they say that the relationship between children and parents, you know, the circle comes around and the children start looking after the parents. Usually it happens later than 52. And I'm saying this because last week we started a new feature on the programme. We featured Dara O'Brien telling a few funny stories, and I thought it would be nice to inject a little bit of comedy on the programme each week. Well, my son Ben, who was a producer with Tip FM back in Ireland, got in touch and said, yeah, don't know, did you do it justice really introducing it? I think you should get someone to introduce that. So because he's cheap, he got the job. Ben, you're on the line. How are you?
I'm great. Talk about an introduction and no pressure at all.
Absolutely no pressure. So, well, you see, when the children start to correct the parents, it's time then for the parents, while they still have some faculties left, to say, well, all right, so you do it and see how we get on. So you're going to take over the introduction of the comedy spot for us when we do it. It won't be every week now. We won't tie you down every week, but we'll do it most weeks on the programme. So what do you have for us today, Ben?
I suppose we'll start off with Brendan Grace. Now, this is actually a suggestion that I think you got off Peter Byrne after last week's show.
Yes, during the programme, actually, yeah.
Brendan is someone that anyone in Ireland will know. One of these really iconic Irish comedians. He only passed away, actually, a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
But he's one of these typical dubs, fantastic, just natural wit about him.
Yeah.
He had this character called Butler that people will know, this Dublin schoolboy who just had this weird look at the world. And for people kind of younger, like my own generation, people might know him as Father Fintan Stack from Father Ted and so on. But even, you know, YouTube and stuff these days,
yeah,
they'll have seen his back catalogue, really. But anyways, he spent a lot of time touring America and had a lot of content about Americans, and just some of them are just fantastic. The likes of St. Patrick's Skull and so
yes,
on and so forth. Anyways, the sketch we've picked for this week is about Americans going to Kerry, and I suppose that idea of the Irish welcome and the Irish hospitality. It's a bit of crack anyways. I think you'll enjoy it.
Thank you very much. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. But having spent so much time in Killarney and in Kerry, which, as you know, people tell Kerry jokes. I don't. I'm not like those common comedians. You're telling you how to get a one-armed Kerry man out of a tree. Wave at him. I stayed in a hotel one particular night down there, and it was a bore. I have to tell you now, I was bored up in the room. I had a colour television. That's right, I got a red one. And I was really bored. I didn't know what to watch, the channels. I didn't know how, and I found a Bible in the drawer. I was going through the Bible, looking for loopholes, and I came across a leaflet in the Bible, and it said, if you're an alcoholic, call this number. I did, and it was an off-license down in... yeah, in the main street, it was an off-license. It was a big hotel, it was a posh hotel. I have to say, it was a posh hotel. This hotel was so exclusive, room service was extraterrestrial. Honestly, and the porters were into tips in a big way. I said, no way. I ordered a deck of cards in the room, and they made 52 trips to the bedroom with the cards. And the one thing about it is that the porter in this particular hotel he had a strong accent on him, you see. And the manager of the hotel said to him, now he says, we've got to make all our guests feel welcome when they arrive. I want you to announce their names as they walk through the lobby, and you'll announce the names out loud, he says. And particularly if they're from America, they've travelled a long distance, and they may, for one reason or another, be tired, and they need a little bit of, you know, we want to create ambience.
They might say, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Ambulance. There's nobody sick. What are you talking about, an ambulance?
No, he said, no, ambience. Ambience. He says, you'll announce their names as they walk in.
He said, how will I know their names? Jeez, I'm not a fortune teller.
And the manager said to him, it's very simple. He says, when the car stops outside the door, you pick up the cases, you're walking through the lobby, and it's the simplest thing in the world. You will see their names on the luggage tags and you'll announce them. So you can imagine the consternation when he walked in one day and he said, I'd like to announce the arrival here today from Philadelphia, USA, of Mr. and Mrs. Simulated Leather. He was really getting fired. And the only reason he wasn't fired is because four ladies had arrived on the same flight from America, and they'd walked into the hotel, and they're walking up, and they're really tired, and they're going up towards the porter's desk, and one of the ladies said, Sir, can we have a bellboy?
What are you talking about, bellboy?
Well, sir, we want a bellhop.
You hop your bell somewhere else.
No, he said, you don't understand, sir. In Ireland, what do you call the person who takes your bags to your room?
He says, yourself.
And they had to carry these cases, lugging them up the stairs, and the porter was saying, follow me, I'll be right behind you. Put them into their rooms. They were all staying in the one room. And the following morning, they had a good rest, and they're all wakened up by this terrible banging on the door. And your man says, hello. Yes, what's wrong?
Was it 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock you wanted to be called?
He said, God damn it, we wanted to be called at 10 o'clock. What time is it now?
It's 11 o'clock.
And they came down the stairs. They wanted to be taken out. They wanted to see the sights of Killarney. It was their desire to see the lakes and everything, and the mountains and all the beautiful across, all the beautiful places. They needed to see the tourist sights. So they said, can somebody take us for a ride?
You come to the right town anyway, I tell you.
No, we want to go on the jaunting car.
Oh, yes, the jaunting car. He said, well, I'll get the Jarvie to bring one out and he'll take you away.
Well, this Jarvie arrived, you may as well have been looking at Benny Hill. Every feature of Benny Hill, he even had his antics. He was a dude. And he was there helping the first three women up onto the jaunting car. Ooh. And they were enjoying the help for some reason. But the fourth woman, no, she wasn't having any of this. She was dressed like a dog's dinner. Frilly blouse, barbed wire waistcoat. A skirt, a mini, tight mini skirt. Oh, it was up to her, about here, it was up to here. You know the skirts with the buttons down the back? But she's at the back of the, she's trying to get up in the jaunting car and he's kind of helping me.
Stop it, I can manage.
Even the horse was having a look around her. She's trying to get her leg up, but the tight skirt, is it the leg is going in? Couldn't get her leg up onto the step, and she leans back and she opens a button, you see, to give herself a bit of clearance. And the leg goes up again, and she couldn't get the leg up onto the step. She leans back and she opens another button, and the leg goes up another. She's just about to open another button, and the Jarvie says, Jeez, would you stop? You have the trousers nearly off me here for our
There's Brendan Grace. Anyways, Ed and we only lost him there in the start of July, so he's very much missed by people. And indeed, where I'm living here in Clare, he would have spent a lot of time, so he'd be certainly missed around the place in the next couple of years and so on. He also, while he was a comedian, he started off in a band by the name of the Ginger Men, and that's how he kind of got into comedy, just keeping the crowd entertained. But he had, in the early 70s, he had a hit called Combine Harvester.
I remember it.
As he's on the show, I think you featured him before, but as he's on the show and as we're talking about him, it might be a good chance to give that a spin.
All right, we'll do that. So, now, listeners, it's up to yourselves now to decide, did Ben do a better job of that? Or
Should I take it over? Remember, Ben is cheap. Ben, thanks very much. We look forward to another comedy spot with you either next week or sometime soon, all right?
No, thanks, Joe.
I drove my tractor through your hangar last night. I threw me pitchfork at your dog to keep quiet. Now something's telling me that you're avoiding me. Come on now, girlie, you've got something I need. Well, I've got a brand new combine harvester and I'll give you the keys. Come on now, let's live together in perfect harmony. I've got 20 acres and you've got 43. Well, I've got a brand new combine harvester and I'll give you the key. Will you come down off that cocky here and listen to me? I'll stick by you, I'll give you all that you need. We'll have mate for dinner 7 days every week. And you know I love you, girlie, so give me your hand. But the thing I love most is all them acres of land. Well, I've got a brand new combine harvester and I'll give you the key. Come on now, let's live together in perfect harmony. I've got 20 acres and you've got 43. Well, I've got a brand new combine harvester and I'll give you the key. Stop biting your nails, you old devil, you. For 7 long years I've been alone in this place. The old dad died and I was left the estate. If I cleaned it up, would you change your mind? A new thatch of straw, a splash of whitewash and lime. Well, I've got a brand new combine harvester and I'll give you the key. Come on now, let's live together in perfect harmony. I've got 20 acres and you've got 43. Well, I've got a brand new combine harvester and I'll give you the key. Groovy baby, weren't we the fine couple at the last Machra dance? I wore lashings of hair oil and a crease in my pants. In your new Yankee dress with the perfume smelling grand. And we got our photograph took and us holding hands. Well, I've got a brand new combine harvester and I'll give you the key. Now that we're both past our 50s, it's time that you and me stopped all this gallivanting and you'll you marry me. Well, I've got a brand new combine harvester.
God bless you, Julie, wouldn't you get dizzy looking down at all that small tea? First lady, girl, it didn't take you long to learn how to operate, huh? Ah, go on, give it an old squeeze. Ah, go on. Oh, we're going out of control. Oh, look at that dish.
There we go, the late and the great Brendan Grace, as introduced by myself and Ben. Thanks to Ben for taking on the comedy slot for us on a weekly or almost weekly basis. Now, what else do we have to do? That's it. We're done and dusted. You will note that there was no G2 Summit on the programme today. We just didn't have time for it with all that we had in there. However, a G2 was recorded and it is available to hear on emeraldconnection.net if you're interested in that, myself and George Lee. Thank you today to Dermot Hurley, who was the chairperson of the Valencia Ireland Cultural Association. We'll keep an ear on what they're doing. Thank you, as always, to our Spanish-Irish cultural correspondent and consultant, Jose Antonio Sierra, for his thoughts and his information on Kate O'Brien and her link with Avila particularly. Thanks to Ben on the comedy, and thank you, most importantly, for listening to the programme. I do hope that you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed putting it together and presenting it to you. If you would like to get in touch, ger@tre.radio is the email address as per usual. So until next week, from me, Ger Sweeney, look after yourselves and each other. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye now.
Ger Sweeney presents Live on Era in association with emeraldconnection.net.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.